Thank you, Brother Dan. I don't know if you noticed it, but Brother Dan just barely made it through that worship service. He's lost his voice, and praise God, he muscled through it. But we need singers tonight because he's not going to be able to lead us, and I'm not going to be able to drive us, so I hope somebody's going to drive me because I've been fighting a bout of vertigo this week. And I didn't know, you know, I got a confession. Confession's always good, right? Temple Carson once told me that she was dealing with vertigo, and I, in my heart, laughed and said, "Come on, man up." Oh my goodness, God got me back for that one, Temple. I don't think I have felt any worse ever in my life except for when I was in the hospital with dengue fever than what I felt Friday morning with vertigo. And so I'm going to be holding on this morning, not because I'm going to be pounding this little pulpit, but just to make sure I'm still standing by the end. But it's a good thing, I guess, that we're having a bit of a vacation this week. Maybe your church staff, Brother Ron, how are you? Everything good back there? Well, you know, he's the healthiest one of us all, I guess. But it's a good thing that we're going to have a little bit of time off, and I hope you take advantage of that time and spend that time with family. I'm saddened that I don't get to go to Miss Barbara's house this Christmas Eve, because that's always fun. But I get the opportunity to go spend that with my mother-in-law and father-in-law in Greenwood, and we'll have a good time down there as well. You know, when we think about Christmas, we always think about gifts and the giving of presents and so forth. And so this morning, I want to do just kind of a straw poll survey, and so I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you can answer yes to any of these questions, okay? My first question is this: who has finished all of their Christmas shopping? Wow. Either you guys didn't get much or you're very efficient. I'm not sure. All right, so here's the next question. Who out of the people sitting here this morning have stolen someone else's gift during a gift exchange at a Christmas party this year? Wow. You know, this side had more people that had finished their shopping, but we have more thieves on this side. All right. So here's another one. Now, this isn't just this year. This is a question for the entirety of your life. And be honest, who here has actively sought to find the gift that someone else was giving to them? All right. And final question. How many of you have opened a present early, rewrapped it, and put it back under the tree? Anyone? All right. Amen. We've got some great stories, but I won't go into those stories right now. But, you know, gift giving is always a part of Christmas, where we give gifts to people whom we love. And this was first modeled to us by the Magi, the wise men that came to Christ and gave him gifts. And so this morning I want us to think about God's Christmas provision. And so we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2 this morning. And I'm going to read part of this. We read Luke chapter 2 this morning during our birthday gifts for Jesus. And so now I want us to read the other gospel account of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Matthew 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, thou son of David, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, or Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the gift of Jesus Christ and what he brings to our lives and what he provides to us. And so, Father, now as we think about your provision at that very first time of Christmas when Christ came and became God with us, Lord, we ask now that we look at what you've provided and see how that you've also provided those things for us today. Father, we just pray that you open our eyes so that we may see these good things that are from your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want us to think about the things that God provided in that Christmas so many years ago. The first thing that I notice in chapter 1 is that God provided a family for Jesus. He provided a family. Now, if you think about it, at the time, Mary, a virgin, conceived Jesus by the Holy Spirit. She was betrothed to Jesus. Now, a betrothal is not something that is common today. We have engagements, but you know, it's not uncommon for someone to get engaged and then get unengaged, right? It was a very different thing back then. A betrothal was a very serious contract that people would enter into. In fact, it was almost like a marriage without the benefits of cohabitation with the other person. In fact, if you wanted to break off an engagement, you had to get, or a betrothal, you had to get a writ of divorce. So this was a very serious commitment that Mary had made to Joseph. And when she was found to be with child, that phrase there, found to be with child, indicates probably that she was already in her second trimester. In other words, she was showing. There was no more hiding the fact that she was with child. When she was found to be with child, Joseph had every right under the law to have her punished because of her seeming adultery. But Joseph was a just man. He was a kind-hearted man. He was a good man, and he didn't want that for Mary. So in his mind, he started thinking through, what should I do? How should I handle this? And so even though the law allowed for the stoning of Mary because of her seemingly adulterous act, Joseph decided to just quietly divorce her. But that wasn't God's plan. You know, the common thing to do back then was publicly shame her for her adulterous act, but he didn't do that. And so in verses 20 and 21, we find that the Lord spoke to Joseph. He spoke to him in a dream. And in that dream, God said to Joseph, "Don't worry, Joseph. The baby that Mary is carrying has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. She has done nothing wrong. And Joseph, I'm now calling you to do something for this family. And that is, be a father to the godchild. Be a father. Be that person that steps up and leads him to be the man that he needed to be." And so, in verse 23, we find that it says that, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." We find here that Mary's virgin birth is a fulfillment of Scripture. And over again in this story, we find that the Old Testament is being fulfilled. You know, Dan mentioned earlier that he's often thought about how that the Jewish people were waiting for the Anointed One, that they were waiting for the Messiah, that they were looking for that time when the Christ child would be born. And so throughout the Scripture, we have places that tell us about how he would be born. Here it tells us in Isaiah 7:14, which is quoted here in verse 23, Isaiah tells us that he would be born of a virgin. So God knew that Jesus would need to grow up in a home with both a mother and a father. Jesus didn't have an earthly father, but God provided him with a dad that would take care of him, take care of their family, and provide for their needs. So God provided in that first Christmas a family for Jesus. The next thing I notice is that God also provided wisdom to the wise men. Now you might think, well, if they're wise men, don't they already have wisdom? But what we discover here is that they do not have the wisdom that they need. They come to Jerusalem and they say, "Where is this Christ child?" So we see God provided wisdom to the wise men. So by the time they arrive in Jerusalem, Jesus was most likely a toddler, between the ages of 12 to 24 months. They're not absolutely sure on that. In verse 11, it tells us that by this point in time, they're living in a house there in Bethlehem. In fact, it refers to the young child, no longer a baby, in verse 11. And so the men, these three men, so tradition tells us, these wise men come from the east. Now, these men were not kings. Now, Dan, I had not looked at what your song list was this morning. I was wondering, I wonder if Dan's going to sing, "We Three Kings of Orient Are, Bearing Gifts We Traverse Afar." These men were not kings. They were magi, or another way of referring to them would be like a royal servant, one who was an attendant in a royal court. And they performed astrological services for their king. They were astrologists. They were people who watched the stars. Okay? Now, it's unclear how many wise men there were, but as you know, tradition is that there were three because of the gifts that were given. There was gold, there was frankincense, and there was myrrh. Tradition has also gone so far as to assign the different names to these magi. Gaspar, Melchior and Balthazar. Have you heard those before? There is no there is no historical foundation for that, but it is legend. In fact, there was an opera written called Amahl and the Night Visitors, which tells the story of these wise men who were going to see the Christ child. We don't know how many there were. We just know that these wise men came from the east, most likely from the area of Arabia, possibly Mesopotamia, which is modern-day Saudi Arabia or modern-day Iran, Iraq, that area. And so these men were most likely not Jews, which may come as a surprise to you, because it was the Jews that were looking for the Messiah. It was the Jews that were waiting for the Anointed One, but it was astrologers that were the ones who ended up seeing the star and realizing who he was. The interesting thing here, and the way we probably know that they were not Jews, is because in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the Bible tells us about Bethlehem. In fact, it's quoted here in Matthew 2, verse 6, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." This was a quote from the Old Testament that these wise men did not know. And so God provided wisdom to the wise men to be able to go and find the Christ child. And when they got there, God provided gifts for Jesus' family. God provided gifts for Jesus' family. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 6, the Bible says, "The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All from Sheba shall come." And notice what it says. "They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord." Back in Isaiah 60, we have a prophecy saying that foreigners will come bringing gifts and honoring God's royal son, the Christ child. And so that's who these men are. They are foreigners coming to honor the Christ, and they brought gifts. Now the Magi gave three gifts. We all know what they are: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Many of you probably have some ideas to even the purpose of these gifts. The gold was to provide financial aid to Christ's family for the days ahead, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. The frankincense is something that was used in worship. It was the essence of what we would call incense today. It was a sweet-smelling savor to God that was used often in worship. And so by giving the Christ child this frankincense, they were acknowledging his worthiness to be worshipped. And then myrrh is a substance that is used or was used in the embalming of bodies when they died. And so the giving of the gift of myrrh was a sign of Jesus Christ's ultimate purpose. He was a child that was born with the purpose of dying for the sins of all the people. So God provided these gifts for Jesus' family. Now let's look, if we will, at verse 12. The next thing we notice is that God provided protection for Jesus' family. In verse 12, it tells us, "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed," the wise men departed, "into their own country another way." You see, Herod was the king, but the wise men were coming to worship the newborn king. So in Herod's mind, the newborn king posed a threat to him. And so God warned the wise men, don't go back and tell Herod where Jesus is. So they went back another way. The story goes on in verse 13, and it says, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream saying, now notice, this is the second time Joseph has had an angel appear to him in a dream. He said, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Excuse me. So we find that the wise men did not return through Jerusalem. They did not go back to Herod. They did not tell Herod where Jesus was, because God warned them through an angel in a dream. And then God sent an angel into the dream of Joseph as well. And so Joseph took Mary and Jesus, and they fled. They went down into Egypt. And this is a fulfillment of Hosea 11, verse 1, which we find quoted here in verse 15, which said that out of Egypt will I call my son. Do you see? I mean, how can Jesus be from Bethlehem and be called out of Egypt? How can he also be a Nazarite, which we're going to talk about, a person from Nazareth? All of these things God worked out just right to make it absolutely clear that Jesus, the child of Mary, the adopted son of Joseph, was the Christ, the one that people had been waiting for. Every prophecy pointed to him. So once those who sought him, sought to kill the Christ, were dead, they returned to Israel. But they settled not back in Bethlehem. They went back to Nazareth. And this is most likely a fulfillment of Judges 13:5, which tells us that Jesus would be a Nazarite. And so God provided protection for his son. God provided protection for Jesus' family. But the last thing that I notice here is that God, through all these things, providing a family for Jesus, providing wisdom to the wise men, gifts for Jesus' family, protection for Jesus' family, the ultimate purpose in Christ becoming the Emmanuel, God with us, was so that God could provide salvation to the world. We read it earlier in chapter 1, verse 21, and it tells us that Joseph was to call. You see, it was the father's responsibility to name the child. And in chapter 2 of Luke, we find 8 days after Christ was born, Joseph named the child there in the temple. And they said they were trying to get him to name him something that was part of the family tree, you know. Kind of like what I was talking about not long ago with me naming my child Elijah, because that was a family name for us. They wanted him to name him something out of the family, but Joseph said, no, his name is Jesus. We will call him Jesus. Why? Because God had told him to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Yeshua in the Hebrew, meaning the Savior, the one who will save from their sins. You know, as I think about Herod, the king of the Jews, He had no reason whatsoever to ask the scribes and the Pharisees where the Christ child was to be born. He was the king of the Jews. He should have known the scriptures, right? But he ignored the scriptures. He had to go to them and say, what does the prophecy say? What do the prophecies say about the coming of the Messiah? Herod had no need to ask where to find the Christ child if he had only acknowledged the scriptures. And I wonder sometimes, are we so familiar with this Christmas story? You know, Jesus in the manger and the shepherds on the hill and the angels coming down, and then the shepherds come and they bow down and worship, and then the wise men come and they give gifts. We've all heard this story before, right? Are we so familiar with this traditional Christmas narrative that we too are blinded to the scripture? That we're really not paying attention to what the scripture tells us? You see, the Magi offer us a powerful lesson in faith. Think about it. They had been on at least a 1, maybe up to 2 year journey through dangerous country for their desire to worship this newborn king. And despite the humble setting that they found the Christ child in, they believed that they were in the presence of Israel's greatest king, Israel's Savior, and they presented unto him lavish gifts that were befitting only to a king. God said, call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Salvation is what God provided. And you know what? Simple faith is all that we need in order to have salvation. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins. Do you believe that today? Do you believe in Jesus Christ that he is able to save you from your sins? You know, Acts chapter 4 verse 12 makes it very, very clear. And that is that the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's simple faith. It's simple trust in Jesus Christ. It's simply acknowledging the fact that we can do nothing to save ourselves. Jesus Christ was given to the world, became God among men, God with us. And he walked among us. He lived a life that was perfect, a life that was sacrificed when he was willing to die and pay the penalty for my sins and for yours. All it takes is simple faith, trusting in him, because there is no other name written among men whereby you must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only way whereby you can be saved, whereby you can experience forgiveness for your sins. Will you trust him today? If you've never come to a place in your personal life where you can say for certain that Jesus Christ made a difference in me because I trusted in him, today is the day that you need to be saved. Today is the day that you need to trust in him. And in just a moment, we're going to have an opportunity where we're going to stand up and Brother Dan's going to sing a song and everybody's going to be singing around. But this is going to be your opportunity to come forward and say to me, Brother Wade, I've never trusted in Christ the way you described. And if that's the case, I encourage you to take that step of faith. As the Magi took that step of faith to go and find the Christ child to worship Him, I invite you to do the same. Take a step of faith, simple, simple faith, and trust in Jesus today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the gift of Jesus Christ and what He provides to us through salvation. Father, I pray now that if there are any here today that have never trusted in you as their personal Savior, Father, I just pray that you would burden their hearts and convict them of their sins and show them their need for salvation. Father, I just pray that you would bring them to the place where they're ready to simply trust in you as their Savior. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Dan.
Let's stand together. Hymn number 295.